Good evening, boys and girls. We're talking today about family. Can you say dysfunction? Can you say that, dysfunction? Let me hear you. Can you say dysfunction? I knew you could. Good, good, good. Well, actually, we are going to have a great time tonight. Hopefully, you've had a great time already, but it's going to become better because you're going to be able to get some tools to really understand this whole thing about family that we're going to talk about over the next 4 weeks. And before we go any further, I would just invite you to bow your head with me in a word of prayer. Let's go ahead and pray. God, as we talk today, and as I specifically as I talk about parents and the adult parents that we have, I know that many of us have not done a lot of thinking about it. We think about it when we're upset about it, but we don't really think about how to make things better. And so I ask today that you'd help me have the right words to give, and that you would help all of us to have the right attitude, and that today you would communicate to us as only you can through the Bible as we try to take a look at how to have the kind of family lives that we really want. And we pray these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, in this series, we're going to talk a lot about a lot of things that you can choose to do it yourself with. That's what we're doing, talking about do it yourself, things you choose to positively impact family. You can choose who you're going to date. You can choose how you're going to date. You can choose if you're going to get married, how you're going to get married. You can choose if you're going to have kids. You can choose how to raise those kids. But one family choice none of us had any say in was who our parents were going to be. None of us had any idea who those parents were going to be. And there are a lot of similarities about do-it-yourself in the home and do-it-yourself in your house. You know, in your house, for instance, your house doesn't get anything done unless you do it yourself. You hire somebody, you pick up the hammer, you do something yourself. And it's the same way within our families. Whatever your family structure is, it will not improve unless you do something yourself. And so we're going to talk about some nuts and bolts things that you can do. But let's be very clear about something. Information will not help us at all. We actually have to pick up the tools and do something with the bolts. There's another thing that's that are similar between the home and houses. Houses, you know, they're never done. They're never done. I know for me, any house I've ever been in, it's never been done, especially when I'm married to my wife. Just when I think it's done, there's a new lampshade that shows up or a new, man, how many more lampshades can we buy? I mean, I thought I liked that lampshade. There's always some new knick-knacky thing that's coming into the house. It's never done. And you know, your family life, your home life, it is never done. There is always an improvement. There's always something to go to the next place. One of the things that do-it-yourselfers might not understand that maybe a contractor would is that in construction, in building houses, there are what is called packages. These are the bigger, major items that hold the home together that normally a do-it-yourselfer doesn't attempt. But a do-it-yourselfer at minimum has to know about the package in order to make sense of the house. So when we start talking about building a house, you might have the foundation package, or you might have the electrical package, which is, you know, all the wiring and where the boxes are and your electrical service and all those kinds of things. And the electrical package would include things like if you're reading at night, you want to know enough about the electrical package to know that you have installed switches so that you can read on one side of the bed if you're a reader at night and your spouse doesn't have to read and doesn't have a light shining in their face. That's one way knowing an electrical package might help you. There's HVAC packages, which is the entire package for your heating and your ventilation and your air conditioning that goes throughout the entire house. There are major construction packages in the formation of every house. And likewise, I want to start off tonight with saying there's three major construction packages, three major home packages, and understanding how to build family. First is this. I kind of just said it, the family package. The family package. You know, we have an innate desire for family. We have an innate desire for family. In fact, even those of you who are annoyed that you're finding out we're going to talk about family for 4 weeks, you're annoyed because you have an innate desire for family. You're annoyed because there's been something that's happened in your family background that causes you to want to ignore family, but you can't. It's instinctual. As humans, The family package is instinctual. You can go to the animal kingdom, and the way God has created animals, they reproduce, and there isn't that much of any family really there. I mean, you reproduce, and you get to a certain age, and you go out and kill things on your own and reproduce, and they go out and kill things on their own. There's not a bond. But with us as humans, there is this bond. There is a reason why our family bothers us. Do you think a little lion gets upset about something their mother did to him or didn't do to him? No, they don't care. Mother is there purely to get me started, and it's a way. There's no family package there. And with us as humans, we were created for family. We were created to be in family. We yearn for family. It's one of the reasons why the holidays are so stressful for us. One of the reasons why we put this series before the whole holiday season. Because around the holidays, we spend more time with our family. The great thing about the holidays is we spend more time with our family. The bad thing about the holidays is we spend more time with our family. I mean, it's kind of, it goes both ways. And it's instinctual to us. But we don't even necessarily have to have blood relatives to have family. Because there's a thing called community, where we do life with one another and bond with one another and meet each other's needs. Community is what family is all about. I've got very close friends of mine who are coming up on their 50th wedding anniversary. And did not have children of their own. They did not create a family of their own outside of the married couple. And they've got a community around them that's in this church that is like family to them. So we're having a 50th wedding anniversary because it's just instinctual. Because part of our package is people. Because we are familial creatures. And if you don't understand that you're a familial creature, you won't be able to grow. It's just hardwired into us. Another package that we have that's a part of us is the leave and cleave package. The leave and cleave package. Genesis 2:24, the very first book in the Bible, talks about the leave and cleave package when it says this. It says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." This has been summarized as leaving and cleaving, where an adult person who is going to get married leaves that being the primary family, mom and dad being the primary family, leaves some of the emotional strings that are connected and goes and cleaves to the other person to start a new family. Now, cleaving is a heck of a lot more fun than leaving. That's that's what I'm talking about. One flesh, that's what it's saying. When woman and man cleave, become one flesh, that is the consummation of a new family unit, which marks a brand new day in the relationship that that person has with their mom, with their dad. You know, if you read about family, you want to go down to Barnes & Noble or Joe Beth, or you want to, you know, search the web and you want to find Christian ideas or biblical ideas about family, you will have no problem finding stuff on how to build a good marriage and how to raise kids. And we'll talk about that in this series. But, you know, the thing is that we will spend 2 to 3 times longer with our parents as adults than we did as children. And no one talks about that. 2 to 3 times more as an adult than you will as a child. And we want to spend the rest of our time tonight talking about what do we do for those of us who are adults and have adult parents who are still around. How do we relate to them? And one of the things we have to recognize is that there is the leave and cleave package. There comes a moment where you turn, and that is no longer the primary familial relationship or the primary human relationship. The relationship hasn't ended. It's just the rules of the game have changed. And one of the things that we've got to recognize that there is a lot of pain in this place here tonight. I know there is. I speak with enough of you to know that the pain in this place related to family is deep and wide and intense. And we can take some lessons from Brian's message last week on pain. And we can realize that there could be some ways that we can grow in the midst of that pain. And maybe this holiday season we'll be able to grow. You know, the cypress pine tree is one of the most majestic trees there are. And it underwent a lull in reproducing itself. And scientists finally figured out what that was. They found out it was in the forestry department's ability or the way that they were dealing with forest fires. Because for 25 years, the policy was see fire, send smoke jumpers in, have them jump out and put out fire. But what they found was there's a cypress pine tree, a seed that lies underneath the soil and only germinates when there is an intense amount of heat above ground. And in doing this policy, this is one of the many ways that this policy was hurting the growth of our forests, the growth and protection of our forests, because the cypress pine tree needs the heat to reproduce itself and actually grow. And one of the ways that you can look at some of the pain in your family, though I wish you never had to go through it, is that you can choose to allow the heat of that pain to grow you to a new place. But at the same time, there comes a place where we leave the heat, we leave the frustrations, and we recognize, you know, you are no longer mommy and you're no longer daddy. There's a different mode that I'm in. Remember, this was for me, a light bulb that went off for me at Thanksgiving. How many of you like Thanksgiving? Like Thanksgiving? Okay. I never understood that for the longest time, why you would like Thanksgiving. I remember when I was in college talking with some guys and said, yeah, we're going home for Thanksgiving, can't wait. And I'd be like, excuse me, say what you just said again. I said, I'm going home for Thanksgiving, I can't wait. I said, really? See, for me in my life, Thanksgiving was about going to some extended family, speaking of, you know, cleaving, in Cleveland. That's where we went to Cleveland. And in Cleveland, well, I didn't do any cleaving in Cleveland. Well, as we went to Cleveland, we would go and there would be extended family who I only saw that time every year, and they were extended family who had an attitude. And I can remember from a little kid, I was always getting in trouble. I was sitting on things I shouldn't sit on. I was touching things I shouldn't touch. I was going places I shouldn't go. I was getting reprimanded. I was, you know, it was not a joyful experience for me at all, but I just kind of sucked it up and didn't realize it was any different. And then this guy said that he liked Thanksgiving. I thought, you're kidding me, because Thanksgiving for me is like going to the dentist. I just didn't like it. And finally it started to sink in. This is because of my family background that had a level of pain involved with it. So I get married. And that was, you know, you get married and you kind of have this whole thing. We say, okay, we'll do this with your side of the family and this with your side of the family. And so I just say, hey, the one thing this extended family does, we do Thanksgiving. So we got to do Thanksgiving. And so Lib said, okay, we'll do that. Well, we go there and her Thanksgiving starts to get bummed out being in the midst of this environment. And I got a couple kids. And I finally one day it dawns on me, my kids are not enjoying Thanksgiving. They're real, real little, but I saw them getting reprimanded unjustly for the same things that I was as a little kid. And all of a sudden I said, you know what, hold on, whoa. There's a leave and cleave package, which my primary allegiance is to my family. That's my primary allegiance. And I need to leave that family, not abandon, eliminate, but they're a distant number two on the priority chart. I remember going, telling my family, we're never going to come here again for Thanksgiving. Actually, I said, this year we're never going to go, we're not coming to Thanksgiving this year, and it never was again. But I can remember saying that, and we're like, oh, this is Thanksgiving, all the relatives, and I was like, I'm sorry, I appreciate that, but there's a lot of things that I want to build in my family tradition that'll be better for us to not come here for Thanksgiving. There was anger, there was bitterness, there was, but you know what, so what? So what? The leave and cleave package told me the primary responsibility that I have is my wife and my family. That's the new family. And for some of us in here, part of the pain that you're experiencing in dealing with your parents is you have not understood the leave and cleave package. Even if you're not married, the leave and cleave package is still part of your life. Jesus had this. Jesus never cleaved anybody. He was never married. But he understood the leave and cleave package. One day he's out doing ministry, and this is what happens. Let's take a look at this. Says this, now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Now you got to get the scene here. Jesus is in a feverish pitch of doing ministry and fulfilling his calling. He's probably in the middle of teaching people or whatever he's doing. And his mother and his brothers, his family, can't get to him. So they send word to him that basically says, Jesus, stop what you're doing right now and come see us. And so, you know, kind of the trickle effect. They tell somebody, tell somebody, tell somebody, works its way up through the crowd to Jesus. And someone taps on his shoulder and says, hey, you got to go. Your family's here. They need to see you. Jesus said, excuse me? And he says, I'm going to take a little teachable moment here. All your friends, you know what? You know who's my family? My real family, my real community is those who know God and do what he wants. That's my family. Now, if you know anything about the life of Jesus, you know he took care of his mom, took care of his brothers. Even while he was hanging on a cross, he was looking out for his mom. He never blew off his parents. never blew off his family, never dishonored them. But he realized that there was a place where he had left. There was a barrier. Because at that moment, they were imposing something on him that was unhealthy. They were imposing on him saying, you leave the healthy thing you're doing right there and come with us. And Jesus said, sorry. When I was 11, yes. But no, I have a higher responsibility now. And you need to understand that some of us in here have incredible pain and incredible angst about holidays because you have not identified and owned the leave and cleave package. One thing that Jesus never stopped doing with his family was the third package and final package I want to talk about tonight, which is the honoring package. You know, by the way, we're not going to get done early tonight. My third point, wow, Brian, almost done. Well, the rest of the time we're going to talk about this package. Darn, we're not going to get done early. No, darn, maybe we'll come out and beat on the stuff for a little bit longer or something like that. But the honoring package, you know, he understood the honoring package. This comes from the Old Testament. It actually comes from God's top 10 list, the Ten Commandments. Here's what it says in the book of Exodus. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your God is giving you. Now, God's top 10 list, the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments were commandments that dealt with our relationship with God. The second six commandments were commandments that dealt with our relationship to others. And the first commandment in that section to other people starts with parents. Honor your father and mother. And another thing that's interesting about this command, it is the only one of all top 10, the only one of 10 commands that has a promise or a blessing extrinsically linked with it. So that you may live long in the land your God is giving you. This is the only commandment that God links a blessing or God links a benefit to it if you do it. Now, all the things that God tells us to do, there are benefits attached with it. That's why God tells us to do it. But this one, God specifically calls it out. Because here's the way it works. A culture or a society that does not honor parents, that does not honor family, is a culture and a society that's going south fast. And when you live in a culture, or you live in a society, or you're in a family, where you have the proper relationship and the proper respect to parents, there is a blessing that comes back. You know, now, all that to be said, sometimes it's very hard to honor our parents. I mean, what does it look like? I mean, it's like the guy who called his mom. And she picked up the phone and said, hello. And he said, Mom, you okay? She said, yeah, I'm fine. He said, Mom, you don't sound good. What's wrong? And she said, well, I haven't been eating. He said, you're kidding. Why haven't you been eating? Well, I just didn't want to have any food in my mouth. Just in case you would happen to talk, I wouldn't have to call. I wouldn't have to talk with food in my mouth. You know, the manipulative thing that some... I didn't tell that one very well, but I'll tell it better tomorrow. The timing wasn't right on that one, but it really is good. It really is. Come back tomorrow. Get the timing better on it. There are some parents that will take advantage and that will manipulate, and sometimes honoring for some of us is harder than others. But there is a difference in how we honor or how we relate to our parents based on our age. In the New Testament book of Ephesians, it says this, chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. Now, we look at this, and some people might look at this and think, oh man, see, obey your parents, that's exactly, oh, they want me to come to Thanksgiving, I guess I got to come to Thanksgiving. No, it's not what it's saying. Children here is very specifically people or children who are of young age. All of us are children who have parents, but this is specifically speaking of children who are little itty-bitty wee ones. Very clear in the Greek, the original Greek word there. And children who are of little itty-bitty wee age, how do they honor their parents? Do what they say, period. That's how. Mom says it, you do it. Dad says it, you do it. I'll talk about that in a couple weeks. Children have to obey. But when you come to a place where you are ready to leave and cleave, the way that you honor changes. It no longer is blind obedience to whatever your parents want. In fact, one of the reasons why some of our relationships with adult parents, or if you're an adult parent in here today, your relationship might be difficult with, well, hopefully if a parent, you are adult. I mean, there's no such thing as prepubescent parent. I mean, if you were an adult parent with an adult and you have, well, you know what I'm talking about. If you're adult, children, parents, okay? One of the reasons why you might not be all that close with your child is you have not honored the process that marriage and family works in. There's a graphic that helps me illustrate this for you. With all of us, in the parenting and in the child cycle, there's a place where we are maturing, and then there is freedom. And that line in the middle is the relationship between how much freedom a child gets, and it's relative to their maturity. And it's not necessarily an age thing, it's a maturity thing. The more a child matures, the more freedom they should be granted by the parents. And at a certain age, at a certain maturation age, and it's different for different people, there comes a place where the relationship changes. Up to, say, age 18 or age 20, age 21, whatever you want to say it, it is clearly a parent-to-child relationship. Freedom is changing. I mean, you know, you're going to give freedom to your kid to drive, you know, maybe at 2 o'clock in the morning at 18 years old when you may not give that freedom at 16, although maybe you would if they're mature enough. But still, there is a parent-to-child relationship until they come to the place of leaving and cleaving. At that point, the relationship is designed to change entirely to be a peer-to-peer friendship. That is the goal. Any healthy parent knows that the goal is to get you to be a peer of mine, where there is give and take in the relationship. And what happens is, I've known parents who have said, oh, no, I can't discipline my kid, I can't do this, I can't do that. They've wanted to do friendship right away and not established, no, I am the authority. And if that's the case, there is a resentment that builds up over time to where you cannot have the proper friendship later on because the building blocks early in life weren't put there. And then it becomes very difficult. And then for others, the building blocks have been there, but the parent never had the goal to have you as a peer of mine. Or, worse yet, the adult child never had as a goal to be a peer or a friend of their parent. How do you honor your parents? The same way you would honor or value anyone else. Honoring means to value. In fact, the word for honor that's in that verse I just gave, Romans 6, the word for honor your father and mother, it is the exact same word that's used in verses like this. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. This is speaking to friends who are on a growth track with God. You value one another. You honor one another. And you honor parents the same way. Now, some of you might say, well, Brian, that doesn't sound very honoring. You know, it doesn't sound honoring at all. Well, it doesn't sound honoring to you if you don't honor and value your friends. See, if you're a person who uses friends and doesn't build into friends and doesn't sacrifice for friends, then you're not going to understand building into and sacrificing and honoring your parents. See, the problem with many of us is not that our parents are treating us like children. The problem with many of us is we are treating our parents like mommy and daddy, and we're 25 years old. We're 35 years old. We're 45. We're 55. I mean, you used to be at 25 years old, you were married and had kids. You had two parents and had kids. Now it's, you know, you're 25 years old, you're living at home with two parents. I mean, that's kind of what it is, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But the question is, when you were at home at 25 years old, are you honoring your parents? Are you treating them with the same dignity that you would with a friend that you were splitting the bills with? Or are you there because you're using them? See, you can't have the perks of a friendship unless you do the responsibility of a friendship. You know, there's basic courtesies in dealing with our parents that we naturally extend to our friends, but for some reason, we don't think we should extend those to our parents. Basic courtesies, like we're staying over at a friend's house, we would share in the responsibility of the house, but yet we stay at our parents' house or go to there, and we just expect to be waited on hand and foot. Let me ask you this, when you've ever gone out with your parents to eat, how often do you pick up the bill? Or does the bill come? You go, okay, I'll wait for Dad to pick that one up. See, you're communicating, I am dependent on you. You are other than me. I still suck your resources. We are not equals. They're outstanding debts. You know, a friend of yours, you would always pay off the debt. You would be hesitant to ask for a loan, and when you got it, you would pay it off diligently. What do we tend to do with our parents? We'll ask for a loan, and then we can, and you know, I'll get to it when I get to it. That's not honoring. That's not valuing. How about when conflict comes up? You know, if you had a friend or someone you really honor and value, would you just storm out of the room, or would you ignore them, or could you go and tell your friends, oh, you wouldn't believe what she said to me. But we do that with our parents. You know, when have you honored your parents when something has happened to upset you? Have you honored them by saying, Mom, Dad, do you understand that when you say what you just said to me, it makes me feel like a little child? And it really bothers me. Do you understand that? Have you ever had that kind of adult peer-to-peer conversation with your parents? You see, because if you aren't the one to start that, or if that hasn't happened, you got to do it yourself. You have to. You don't just assume it's going to be better this holiday season. Don't just assume they're going to go to some church and do it themselves. No, you do it yourself. You say, I'm going to take the nuts and the bolts. The responsibility is on me to grow. And I'm going to honor and value them. In the book, How to Go Home Grown Up, How to Go Home Without Feeling Like a Child, William Coleman has a great quote. He says this: some do not want the dignity of being treated as an equal. They find it too expensive. Before you get upset about the relationship you might have with your parents, you've got to ask yourself, am I expending the resource of value? Expending the resource of dignity. You know, we don't get a lot of instruction of how to do this, but it's difficult. It's difficult, but you know what? It trickles down. It trickles down. And we need to make the decision to say, at this point, I am going to be the one that's going to lead if I need to. Some of us have very difficult parents to honor, and the relationship is difficult. In the world of healthy people, honoring parents is easy. But you know what? Healthy people is not the real world. Let's talk about the normal world with normal families that are dysfunctional, that are broken, where there's hurts, where there's pains, where people, you know, we have parents that aren't qualified to lead parenting seminars. I mean, let's talk about normal. How do you honor normal parents that have shortcomings like all of us, especially me and especially us? How do you honor them? Three things for you. First is this: grant a code variance. Grant a code variance, a code variation. I don't know if you've ever done much construction or built anything, but you know, somebody somewhere in some bureaucratic office has defined, you know, the parameters for how rooms need to look and where things go on property and with the wiring, all that kind of stuff. But sometimes you get into a situation where what the code is won't work. It just won't. For whatever reason, the code won't work. And so what you got to do is you got to go down before a board of people and you got to say, here's my plans. Here's what I want to do. I want to apply for a code variance. Would you give me a builder's permit? Give me a variance. And they'll look at it and say, okay, I'll give it to you. Well, you know what you need to do? What we all need to do with our parents, if they're bothering us, if it's hard to honor them, you look at them and you say, I'm going to give you a code variance. Because, you know, you really didn't build the family according to code. There is a code in the family of how you build it. There is. And for whatever reason, as well-intentioned as all of our parents were, they didn't meet the code. And so now what we can do is we can say, but, you know, I'm going to offer you a code variance. We don't have to tell them that, by the way. If you tell them that, then you're not honoring them. Don't go home and say, by the way, here's what I learned in church. I need to give you a code variance because you were whacked. So I'm going to give you, just so you know, I'm giving you a code. No, don't do that. That's not honoring. You just make a decision in and of your own heart that says, I'm going to grant my parents, a code variation. You know, I've granted my parents code variations. I know my kids are going to be granting me code variances. I give you one just recently. You know, we had an awesome event here a couple weeks ago. We had on a Friday night. We had friend of mine, Bill Hybels, was in, and we talked about celebrating what God's done to get us into this building and a bunch of other things. It was a phenomenal, it was one of the greatest evenings you could have ever had in your life, really. And if you'd say, oh, it's a little overkill, talk to somebody who was here. It was unstinking believable. And my parents were in that day, that weekend. They were kids, so they came, you know. Now, end of that time, what did they say to me? Did they say, Brian, that man, I don't know what's happening there, but man, great stuff. What do they say? No, nothing. They didn't say anything. Zero. Nothing. You know, code. code would have been, hey, Brian, you know, I don't understand everything that's happened at Crossroads, but son, you're doing good. That's it. Just one sentence. That would have been nice within code. But they didn't say anything even close to affirmation, appreciation. You know what? It didn't bother me. It really doesn't bother me. You know why? Because when I figured this out, that affirmation was something I wasn't going to get from my parents, I just made a variance in my code. I used to get upset. I'd get birthday cards, stock Hallmark cards that said, love, Dad. Like, just it. Like, no writing. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't. So you know what? I made a decision. Okay, I can continue to get upset about this and stew and Or what I did years ago, I just offered a code variance. I lowered my expectations. I said, you can do that. That's okay. Now, the great thing is, sometimes you issue a code variance and then they build it to code. They accidentally affirm you and you're like, oh man, that was great or something like that, you know? It really doesn't bother me at all. Because I made a decision that was the best way to honor my parents is to not put an expectation upon them that they were not going to meet, or at least that history showed they weren't going to meet. And you know that expectation? That was an expectation, knowing what I know about their families, that they're doing way better with me than they did with their families. You see, our parents have been offering us code variations since the day we were born. How many things have our parents got over with us? How many ways have we dissed our parents or whatever? And parents get over it. They've gotten over it from day one. You know, and now it's our turn. Now it's our turn to say, whatever faults you may have, I'm going to make the decision to offer a code variance. Now, having been said that, you can grant a variance on the code, but still choose to erect boundaries to keep your parents from coming to a place where they will hurt you. You can still do that. You know, like my parents would love to speak to how we spend vacations, and they still do try. They still try to hint, you know, how about you do this, and, you know, so we spend more time with them, and just because how ministry is wired around here for me and how my family is wired, you know, one of the barriers that I have is they don't contribute to what we do on vacations. We do spend time with them, but I just don't do, because of the unique pressures that we're under, vacations are not one of the ways that I honor my parents. There's many other ways that I do. But that's just one that I don't. I've had to erect a boundary, because if I do that, for a number of reasons, it would be unhealthy for me and where I am, for a lot of, you know, different things. It doesn't mean you don't erect boundaries, erect barriers. But all that being said, there's a second way you can honor your parents. And it has to do with something that's over here. Let's see if I can find it. There it is. Man, this is some good stuff here. Yeah, this is one of my favorite tools, and it is called a super sawzall. That's what I'm talking about. A super sawzall. It's called a sawzall because it saws all. That's exactly right. It saws all. I mean, what this is, and it's, by the way, it's called super because. If you never held one of these, you'd have no idea why it's super. But it is super when you hold one of these bad boys. I bought this tool, when we first got married, shortly thereafter, because Liv and I, the different houses we've lived in, bought, or whatever, we and our family tend to like open spaces. So one of the first things we do is go in and cut down walls. So I said, I need to go in, get one of these sawzalls. You get one of these bad boys, I'll tell you what. It goes through walls, anything, walls, wiring, ductwork, anything, like hot knife through butter. We just go in, we take stuff down. You know what this is? This tool is one of the things that many of us need to use in honoring our parents, because we have allowed walls to be erected that we need to take down. There's a difference between leaving and cleaving and honoring that entire package and intentionally building walls between us and our parents, or intentionally allowing a wall to be there that we know that God and them would be honored if we took it down. You know, and this is one of those things where what the specifics of that look like, I don't really know for you. I don't know what your walls are. I don't know what needs to come down, but I know that all of us have things in our hands that we can use take down barriers with our parents so it could be more open and more loving than it currently is. The third way that we can honor our parents is by building them with words of appreciation. When is the last time you went out of your way to give your mom, give your dad a word of affirmation? I don't mean like, "Mom, that was a nice turkey." I mean like went out of your way to build them up. The Bible talks over and over again, over and over about building each other up. Here's one of those verses. Here's what it says. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Now, this is not in reference specifically to parents, but as we said, we need to honor and value them. And so this applies to them. We need to build them up according to their needs, that they may be benefited, that we can benefit them. You might notice that your parent has a need of starting to realize, "Man, has my life done what I wanted it to do?" Meet that need. Go out of your way and give them affirmation. Give them words that build them up. There's been something that I've been considering doing for years. I heard about this idea years ago, and I just never got around to it. And now I want to get around to it. It's the gift that I want to give my parents. I'll give them something else as well that will actually cost money, but I'll tell them to give them something else that's not going to cost money, but it'll pay more for them than anything I could possibly give them. I want to give them a framed thing of words of appreciation and affirmation that build them up. So every time they walk by it in their house, they can look at what I think about them and they can be built up. And I thought about this, and I'm going to talk about this in this message. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, one of the things that is just a personal credo of mine is I refuse to talk about anything from stage that I'm not already doing or in the process of doing. I just won't talk about it. That's a integrity violation. So as I was thinking about this, I thought, all right, Brian, well, you need to get started on yours. And I just might want to encourage you and challenge you to think about doing this for your parents. It's a simple bank shot you can do. If you're not sure how to rekindle the relationship or start taking down some walls, you might think about this. And I'll share you mine. It's a work in process. This is rough draft. I got a lot of other things I'm going to change for it. But here's my first shot. They were 26 and 28 when they realized that they couldn't have a biological child of their own. This proved to be a great blessing for a little boy born on October 1st, 1965. Brian Douglas Tome became the son of Dick and Eileen Tome, also known as Daddy-O and Mum-Mum. The little boy had no idea how blessed his life was to be as a result of being under the tutelage of these real parents who taught him that integrity was a total life thing, from not cutting in line to not having sex until you were married. There was never any lack in his life. Even though he never missed the chance to go through a mud puddle, there were always shoes on his feet. Even though he was on his knees more than his feet playing with trucks, he always had a new pair of tough skins. In those days, there was no such thing as eating out more than once a week. Meals were put together the old-fashioned way, by hand. Yet there was never any shortage for a growing boy. What he remembers most about his mom and dad is their work ethic. It was hard work to prepare formula and heat it in a pan of boiled water without a microwave. It was hard work to clean cloth diapers that were saturated with, and I won't tell you the word I'm actually putting in there because it will be meaningful for them. It will be. They'll enjoy that. It was hard work to play catch in the early years when he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. He can still remember taking wiffle ball batting practice with his dad and seeing him turn again and run to retrieve the ball with sweat staining the back of his t-shirt. It was hard work to attend every athletic event, no matter what the weather, no matter what the time of year, no matter what the time of the day, they faithfully showed up. To this day, he can't remember a single athletic event that both parents didn't attend. At those events, he learned another thing about his parents. They were always there. They were there always to tuck him into bed and give him back scratches. Dad was there in an Indian guide weekend to take him to the ER when he fell off the top bunk. Mom was there to teach him and his friends how to play spin the bottle in post office at his 12th birthday party. They were there financially when it was time to go to college. Through wise financial management, they said no to a lot of things that Brian asked for in the first 17 years of his life. This was so they could say yes to something he wasn't even thinking of asking for, a fully paid higher education. They were still there financially in early adult years when life was difficult on a ministry salary. Today, they carry on the same qualities that have made them great parents in their pursuit of being great grandparents. Lena, Jake, and Mariah have benefited greatly from the wisdom that helped Brian build Brian to what he is today. They are truly parents to be honored, not just because of what they've done, but because of who they are. They're my mom and dad, who I love very much. See, I can recognize all the shortcomings my parents have. My kids are going to be able to recognize all the shortcomings I have. I probably ought to ask them what my shortcomings are, because they probably know better than I do. But I can recognize all my parents' shortcomings, and I cannot escape the fact that they deserve honor because of what they've done in my life. Step one to building the family life that you want and you crave is for you to take responsibility, you to pick up the tools, and to start honoring. I challenge you, let's make this a church-wide thing this year. You know, wouldn't it be just great if as a community we could talk about the stories of how we've honored our parents and talk about what happened through something like this? Just one idea for you. Honor your parents. Let's pray. God, thank you for my mom and dad. I thank you for all the moms and dads that are in here. I have no idea what the specific application is for us, because all of us are in different places with different relationships to our parents. And some of us, we don't have a parent any longer. Maybe we have a parent figure that we can apply this to. God, thanks for your instruction that comes in the Bible. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.